happily agreeing to participate on the panel on the independence of monitoring organs, I have chosen a somewhat different perspective for my presentation, that of the necessary interplay between these organs and the policy-making level. Last week, I attended the Brussels High-Level Conference on Implementation of the European Convention on Human Rights, Our Shared Responsibility, in Brussels. While the handling of the cases by the European Court have considerably improved in the last years, the Brussels Declaration highlights the national implementation of the Convention and the role of the Committee of Ministers in supervising the execution of judgments as key challenges. That is, even with a fully independent court which passes binding judgments, this does not do the trick to ensure implementation. Among measures outlined in the Brussels Declaration, to have these legally binding judgments executed and to strengthen pressure for implementation or execution are the following: to give political leverage to execution, to consider thematic discussions on major issues, to encourage the Committee of Ministers to take greater account of recommendations by other monitoring bodies, to facilitate updated information on the state of execution of judgments, to raise issues relating to the execution of judgments in the Council of Europe programs of cooperation, and for the Secretary General and the Commissioner for Human Rights to raise with states' parties issues of non-execution of judgments. While the recommendations by, for instance, the Advisory Committee under the Framework Convention are not as such legally binding, I think these Brussels recommendations could still inspire also in this context. What is really crucial is that serious concerns by the supervisory committees are made known and reach the political leaders and the public at large. I very much agree with what is stated in the 9th activity report by the Advisory Committee on the need for transparency of the process and dialogue, and on the importance of strengthening of cooperation, synergies, and effective follow-up to the findings of the different Council of Europe monitoring mechanisms. And also with other international institutions, such as the OSCE and the United Nations. I also very much agree with the committee's statement in the activity report that its work should be an integral and fundamental part of the multilateral protection of human rights. And I would add also on the work on democracy and the rule of law. SIA and the High Commissioner have earlier referred to the Copenhagen document of the OSCE adopted 25 years ago and its landmark role in setting minority rights standards. And I want to quote paragraph 30 of the Copenhagen document, which states that questions relating to national minorities can only be satisfactorily resolved in a democratic political framework based on the rule of law, with a functioning independent judiciary, with full respect for human rights for all, political pluralism, social tolerance, and legal rules that place effective restraints on the abuse of government powers. The enlargement process of the European Union has clearly demonstrated the crucial role of the rule of law in building stable, democratic, and tolerant societies which ensure human rights and non-discrimination. Generous legislation on minority rights and elaborate standards fall short if the rule of law is not upheld. And that goes not least in states with multi-level governance systems. A major challenge for the Council of Europe, I dare say, and I'm happy that this has also been already been stated today by, for instance, Maria Rotonen, is to sharpen the work of the various supervisory committees to make their recommendations more concentrated and operational and to highlight country-specific concerns in an easily accessible, brief, and consumer-friendly manner. For instance, by providing information on what the court, the commissioner, and the different supervisory committees have stated with regard to the situation of, for instance, Roma in country X, in a maximum of 2 or 3 pages available on the website. Too much of the most valuable and highly qualified work by Council of Europe experts is simply not used properly and is not gaining sufficient political leverage. And this is especially challenging in times when the collaboration by individual states with these monitoring organs are put into question. Such considerations and recent events in Europe have led the European Union last December to decide to establish an annual dialogue on the situation in all EU member states to promote and safeguard the rule of law and to launch debates on thematic subjects. This dialogue should be done taking into account existing instruments and expertise in this area. I believe relevant and succinct input from the Council of Europe into these dialogues could be most useful. And may I finally refer to one other evolution in the European Union when it comes to the situation in member states. As you might know, we heard earlier today about the European values, which is in Article 2 of the Treaty on the European Union, and we have a sanctioning mechanism in Article 7 of the treaty where there are serious risks of breach of these values. The European Commission last spring presented a communication which will lead to the Commission to take earlier action where there are trends of such possible grave breaches of the fundamental values of the European Union in a member state. And let me recall that one of these fundamental values is the right of persons belonging to national minorities. Such recommendations to member states could even lead to suspending certain rights of member states. So I would like to say that there are measures taken also within the EU when it comes to the implementation by its own member states. Thank you very much.